Amen. I pray you're doing well and have sensed God's presence already, right? Who sensed God's presence? You sense his presence, because that's what we want to get. We don't want to get together and not have God here, right? I want his presence. We long for it. I expect it. I believe God was speaking to us pretty directly. The little one, please. Thank you. Thank you. You got to open it for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. All right. What can I say? Amen. Hey, you know, God is calling us into our world, correct? Right? That's what he's calling us to. And I just want you to just plant this in your head. You know, those last couple songs we had, we were speaking of how we were saying we're laying down our lives. We're speaking saying, I'm laying down my life. God, I surrender. Do what you want to do. Do what you want. It's not what I want. Do whatever you want to. How many here saying that? Everybody. Okay? And then we're saying, God, put new wine. Where there's new wine, there's new fire. Guess what God wants to do with every one of us? Send us into the world. Send us into the world. Remember, it's called the Great Commission. It wasn't the Great Suggestion. Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I'm telling you, I've got all authority, now go. Go and let people know this good news, know this hope. And there's something that, again, that's still inside of us saying, yeah, no. And that's, no, God's saying this is what every one of us is called to do. Now, some of us walk in a greater unction, greater gifting, understandable, right? That's like some of us have a real gift for intercession and can like pray for a long time, hours at a time, okay? And many of us can't, but are we all called to pray? Well, again, it's the same thing. It's the same issue. So we, just as we are in this thing on go, on God's saying go into the world, recognize that is absolutely one of the things the Father wants to do to every one of us. When you're saying, God, do whatever you want, God, do whatever you want, and he's saying, okay, I don't just want to heal you, I want to send you. I want to send you. And we don't always want to be sent, right? Be honest, we don't want to be sent. So the Father's, again, even in this day, even today, in this series, we want to be stirred. That we see that the Father wants to empower us. He has empowered us to be able to touch the people around us, right? Now, you always go forward better when you're healed, when you're whole. So, right, same way when you're feeling good physically, the day is better. And just with that in mind, we had Victory and Freedom Weekend. Happened this yesterday with the men in North Braddock and the ladies in White Oak. And we had 7 people go. I just want to have one person come forward and just give a little testimony. That Heather, come on up here. Give Heather a hand. Come on up here, right in the light, right in the light.
Hi, I'm Heather. I've only come here for a little over a month, so I don't know all of you. But I heard about Victory and Freedom, and I jumped at the opportunity to sign up because I've gone through events like this before, healing and deliverance events, and I've never walked out the same as I went in. So yesterday was no different. I came in carrying some heaviness. I've walked through different battles in the past couple years. We're all walking through something or other. We have a very real enemy who wants to destroy us, and our faith is being tested a lot. But I knew that if I went to the event, that God would definitely meet me there. And he certainly did. Even with that expectancy, there were strongholds in my life that I didn't even know were there that brought me to tears. And I was able to release some things that I didn't even know were there. So there was that. I was ministered to powerfully by the leadership team. I walked out feeling both more connected to the body of Christ and also just more confident in general. So I know that the next one is February 18th, apparently they said yesterday. So anyone that has not gone, definitely go because it's worth it.
Thank you, Heather. Amen. You know, we do these things because God wants to see us walk in wholeness. Right? He wants you to be whole because he loves you as a daughter, loves you as a son. He wants you to be whole, just like parents want their kids to be whole. And so that's what this is about. So beautiful testimony. God's moving. We want you to get, remember, and God doesn't just, he wants to heal you because he loves you, and he wants to heal you because then you are more effective in sharing what you have. That's what this is all about. We want to share our lives. Hey, I want to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You know, there's a Christian university that some time ago, they wanted to do a study of their pastoral students to see how they really viewed the needy, those in need. And so what they did was they called them in to their office, really one at a time. Profs called them in and talked to them about a great opportunity they would have to be a community leader, community director at a church. And they felt they were highly qualified for this. And what they had to do, though, was they needed to get across campus, across the campus for the interview immediately following this time, the time they spoke to the prof. And half of the people, they said, look, you have plenty of time. Go make your way over there. Well, what happened was on halfway through, they had someone planted there who was begging and in need. And most everyone who had this amount of time stopped to help that person. Now, the other half of the class, they said, look, you got to get there now. You're going to be late. Go. Not one of them stopped to help the person who was begging. And again, when I hear that, it just reminds me that the pressures of life and our busy schedules make us miss opportunities to stand for Jesus. It happens constantly. And here we see these seminary students, really. They're in this place, but when they were in a hurry, they had something else to do. They didn't see the need. The need wasn't important. And we can look at that and say, oh man, they got played. But how many times in your life have you walked by someone and later on you were like, man, I should have said something. When the person in the next office or the next cubicle was crying and you just pretended you didn't hear. Or the person you know was in distress, even in the mall. They were distressed in some way. I don't have time, right? See, God's challenging us to see. Listen, not just that there's needs around you, but doors are open. God has people around us who need to hear what we have to give. And, you know, I'm embarrassed by some of the things I look back and say, how did I walk by that? I should not have done that. The conviction of God was so heavy. And I don't want to live that way. Amen? I don't want you to live that way. God is putting people before us. We need to see this. See, because these things matter. People are hurting. And when people, and you need to see this, even because Jesus made this clear in Matthew 9. When people are hurting, he sees them as open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He looked at the masses. They were downcast and distressed, like sheep without a shepherd. Man, they're ready for the gospel. Right? And at times we see people in great need and we want to avoid them because it's a problem for us. Right? This is where you say, ouch. Right? And God's saying, look, change the way we see. Change the way we look, that we can see the people around us. This matters. It's your job and my job to represent God to the world. It's our job. You know, the scripture says we're ambassadors. You know, an ambassador. Ambassadors is someone who goes and stands for the nation. And here's look at 2 Corinthians 5 here. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Now, you see here again, Paul says, like, you're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. Appeal to people. You have the answer that they need. We have the answers. Yes, we can't meet every monetary need, but their main need is not monetary. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And you have these opportunities. I have these opportunities. We need to take advantage of these as they come before us. You know, like, we do a lot of work in Liberia, and Liberia is a third world country. And the U.S. ambassador to Liberia, man, all the politicians in Liberia know who that is. Why? Because they know the United States has resources. And so the ambassador of the United States is somebody you want to know as well as you can. As well as you can. Well, we have resources. Do the people around you know that you have a resource in God? Do the people around you recognize that? Have you given them a look at what this Christian life is like? Are they seeing you live this out? See, this is a responsibility that we have. God is challenging you and I. Challenge us, man. Let's let him do what he wants with us. Make me an ambassador for Christ. I want to be an ambassador. It's as though God were making an appeal through you. Right? That's what God wants. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, our desire, even as we begin here in this preaching time, Father God, make us ambassadors. Give us a heart, Lord. Give us a heart. Even as we were singing, we were saying, God, do with me what you want. God, put new wine inside of me. And I know that new wine, God, it's not talking about me having an easier life. God, it's talking about me walking in a freedom and a power in you to give away what I have. God, open us up. Wake us up. Let it be. God, it's for every open heart they're going to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, again, what we're going to talk about today, again, is that we can have an impact in our world just as we're going through everyday life. Everyday life, there's opportunities that happen. And here's the big idea for today. Next slide, Josh. It says, followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus will go into their world and along the way make a difference when they do what? See the way Jesus sees. That sound familiar? It should, because we said it last week. All right? Why are we saying it again? Because it's that important. It's that important. If we're going to be effective, we got to see people the way he does. Look for open doors and invest time. Invest time. And the text today, as Doug had mentioned, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. You can turn there. And, of course, Zacchaeus is somebody that was rejected. He was despised. But God saw something. Jesus saw something in him that nobody else did. He saw something inside of this man. And so before we jump into the text in chapter 19, I just want to set the picture of what's going on. Because Jesus is approaching Jericho. And if you read back into chapter 18, you'd find it that Jesus is approaching Jericho. And it's at this time where blind Bartimaeus, many of us have heard the story of blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus was coming. There was a big entourage. And he started shouting, Jesus, son of David. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right? And Jesus responded. Jesus healed his eyes. This is in that same context. All right? That's what's happening at this time. See, because what would happen if somebody of notoriety was coming to your village in first century Judea? What would happen would be the townspeople would do a welcome. They'd try to throw a banquet. They'd throw a banquet in their honor. They'd want to welcome them. And the more important the guest, the further outside of town the parade would start, so to speak. The welcome would begin. And so Jesus is coming into town, obviously, and people know. And people know who Jesus is. Because in this moment, he's headed to Jerusalem for the last time. Right, so he's going through Jericho. So people are out there. Obviously, I'm sure they're shouting his name. They want to see Jesus. They want to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. All right, let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho, made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Zacchaeus had a problem, right? He was limited in height. Right? He was challenged. He was challenged in height. Some of you have the same problem. Now, so he couldn't see. He couldn't see, and he wanted to see who this Jesus was. Because remember, Zacchaeus is a Jew. He's a Jew here, and one thing you just want to catch again: what were tax collectors? Some of you have heard some of these details. Let's just make this clear. You know, the Roman government, of course, collected taxes. All right, imagine that. Okay, they collected taxes. So that what they would do is they would get Jewish people to collect taxes from the Jews, and then they'd get a commission. In other words, we need to collect X amount of money from this district, and whatever you collect over that is yours. Okay, and there was no appeals process. Right? But again, it was a very harsh system. Very harsh system. And that's the way they collected taxes. Now, the Jews also paid a religious tax to the Jewish authorities for maintaining the temple. Most people feel that the tax burden on the Jews was at least 30%. At least 30%. There were also duties paid for goods. They also paid tolls for some roads. Imagine that. Okay? Do you have a donkey or are you walking? I guess a donkey would cost more. Okay? Just like axles on a vehicle. I thought that'd be funnier. Okay, but So they again. So the point is, the tax collector, the Jewish tax collector, would extort money. The more he collected, the more he would make, and they became rich. So they were despised and hated. If you look at some of the context of Jesus, when he's trying to give word pictures about the worst people to get saved, he talked about prostitutes and tax collectors. Okay, that's he put them in the same breath, because they were notoriously wicked. And yet they were Jews, so they were despised, absolutely despised by the Jews. And so for Zacchaeus, he's a hated man. You know, he's hated. He's not going to ask, hey, let me get to the front of the crowd. He could probably be hurt by that. So what does he do? He runs ahead, and he climbs a tree, because again, he doesn't want to get hurt. Let's look at verse 4. It says, he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass the way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to the guest to be the guest of a notorious sinner. So we see what Zacchaeus does. He runs, climbs a tree, right, so he can see over everyone's head. Sees over everyone's head, because again, nobody likes him. Nobody's going to help him. Okay, so sycamore trees also were very seldom planted in a city, because they were known just a dirty tree. So you're outside the city somewhere. Jesus is marching by. We don't know if it's on going into the city or going out of the city, but he walks up. He sees Zacchaeus, and he makes this declaration. Now the town, think about this. The town sees Zacchaeus as a thief. They see him as a traitor, as an absolute traitor, right? And they don't see him as repentant. He certainly is not seen in the synagogue, right? And Jesus walks up to him, and says, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to your house today. You can imagine they were popping their buttons over that, right? I mean, because again, the town fathers, they've prepared. I'm sure they prepared some type of banquet for Jesus. And Jesus is not giving them any mind, but he walks up to this tax collector. You believe you went to a tax collector? And he said, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to come to you. Man, and this notorious sinner, but what is it? Why? Why? Jesus saw something different. See, Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. He didn't judge him by his actions. He judged him by his need. He didn't judge him by his actions. He judged him by his need. Zacchaeus had a need. He needed salvation. He was a sinner. Jesus looked at him and said, that man's ready. He saw something that nobody else saw. Everybody, be sure, when Jesus stopped and looked up in the tree, everybody was looking at Zacchaeus. But none of them saw what Jesus saw. And I believe it even now, if some of you think back when Jesus called you, you were like Zacchaeus in the tree. Nobody thought you stood a chance. In fact, people were hoping you'd die in your sin. But Jesus looked at you and said, hey, come on down. I'm coming to be with you today. See, God sees what we don't see. And we need him to open our eyes that we can see people, even in their worst condition, the way he does. Help us, God. Again, we need his spirit to do that. We'll be talking about that next week. Man, there's a whole world despised Zacchaeus. And again, I think, how often has the world colored our opinion of people? People we even see in the news, of politicians, or you know, the way the news cycles go now, where you never get full stories, you just get lines, right? Man, and again, but how often have I walked by people who were open and ready, but I didn't see it. I just couldn't see that in people. But Jesus saw something. He saw something that nobody else saw. And even though he was despised, isn't it cool too? Like, Jesus didn't care what other people thought. Wasn't moved at all by what other people thought. Not in the least. Wasn't moved. Now, I don't care what they say about him. I'm coming to his house. I don't care what did his own disciples think? Of course, at this point, they may have been like, oh, he's doing it again. He's doing it again. He's going to make everybody mad again. but they knew not to argue at this point, right? So, God, help us. Help us see the people around us. Man, I've got to be open. I got to be in the Spirit of God that I can hear His voice in the moment. I've got to hear, man. I've got to see people. Quit prejudging people. Quit saying no for people that they aren't open to the gospel of God. Right? Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Secondly, he said we have to look for the open doors. We see, he said, Zacchaeus ran ahead. He climbed that tree. And Jesus looked at him and he saw him. He perceived this man's open. I absolutely believe that as daughters and sons of God, he does order our steps. He orders our steps. Give us that next slide. Here's just a couple examples of scriptures that speak of what God does with us. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Okay, when I read that, again, it's not just every detail of my life being good and my life being comfortable and me not having pain emotionally or physically or any other way. All right? He delights in every detail. Say, man, I even want to lead you on your trip to Aldi's today. I want to lead you when you go to lunch today. I want to lead you. You know, when you're getting gas today and the person next to you at get-go, all right, looks forlorn, will you look for the open door? You've got to believe God has open doors. He's setting them up for us. He's setting them up. Proverbs 16, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. See, when, for the one that pursues him, he will make a way. He'll make a way. He's opening doors before you. How many doors are you missing? How many doors are we missing? Because, man, our eyes aren't open, and we just don't expect it. We just don't expect it. We close it. We close these things out in our lives. I think about the examples of Jesus. You know, blind Bartimaeus shouting out, Jesus, Son of God, right? That's a pretty obvious one, all right? Someone's open to the gospel, right? They're crying out to me in this moment. But I think about the paralytic man that let down through the roof of the house. You know, but think about examples in your own life. You know, I have many of these in my life where, you know, I guess I believe for open doors. I just want to see people and see the doors open. You know, a couple weeks ago, our roads closed, so we're playing on the street because there's no cars on it where we live. And you know, I'm out there with the grandkids, you know, carrying on, and this young guy walks up the street and you can tell right away. He's lonely. So open up that conversation with him and start to talk to him. And he could just tell he was open to talk. It's an open door. Take advantage, open door. Same day, a couple walks up with two young kids. It's just, they was, instead of just saying, hey, how are you, or ignoring them, engage them. Great day today. So great day for a walk, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. Hey, where do you guys live? Well, they told me they live just a few doors down from us. Open door. You've got to see the open door. Playing tennis. This guy's beating the heaven out of me on the tennis court this year. That happened the few times I played, happened every time. So that was normal. So it was a normal day at the tennis court, let me say. And so this guy, again, he's a thinker. He's a thinker. He was 70 years old, you know, a professor. He was originally from Poland, and he starts sharing just the stuff he's studying. He's a studier in his life. He's very studious. I said, okay, this guy's studious. He's telling me all this. Open door. I'm going to walk through that door. I'm going to take advantage. Here's the point, guys. There's open doors for you in the highways and byways, just as you're going about your life. Jay and Rachel are just great examples of this. You know, many of you pass the couple of the people that are always down here on the corner of 65 and the Terman Avenue approach, right down here by the McKees Rocks Bridge. Yeah, I think Jay buys breakfast for this guy like 3 times a month. All right, just stopping by. Last week, he's not losing a reward because I'm saying it, okay? But a week ago, they took him to breakfast, him and his kids, before church. All right, why? Well, again, open door. Open door. There's open doors. Do you see them? Do you believe that they're there? See, I believe that we have a real issue because we don't even believe that there's nobody around me. I'm not. How many of us have said, I don't have any unbelievers in my life? Right? And again, I understand that's true to a degree. But that's true, but not the whole truth. I mean, you eat, you shop, you go out to eat. I know you do that, right? So every time you go out to eat, you are paying somebody. Someone is looking for you to pay them for their service to you. I got a captive audience. And by God, you better be the best tipper in the restaurant, all right? You better be a good tipper, right? Because we're representing the most generous God that they've ever known, right? The generous God, right? So that's no extra charge on that. But the point being, there's open doors. Will you take it? Do you believe that there's open doors? We have opportunities. We have opportunities. We've got to see it and take advantage of it. Thirdly, we've got to be willing to invest time. Invest time. You know, Jesus entered Jericho, right, making his way through town. And looking here again at verses 4 and 5, throw that next slide up. 4 and 5 here again. You know, what does he do? He walks up to Zacchaeus, calls him by name, right? Calls him by name, which is also a spiritual gift, right? He has a word of knowledge there, spiritual gift, right? He calls him by name. And then he invests the time to go to the man's house. Now, this is intriguing to me because he could have just said, Zacchaeus, you're forgiven, go and sin no more. I mean, he's been known to do that kind of thing, right? Just real quick, just give them a word. But this time he says, nope, come on down. I'm going to your house. I'm sure there's multiple reasons I could come up with why he would do that. But one of them certainly is that you and I would recognize investing time is important. Investing time is important. Investing time. Your time is, I don't know about you, my time is valuable. My time is more valuable than money. It really is. It's more valuable than money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough hours in the week. And we all have the same amount of time, right? Doesn't matter how much money you make, you all got the same amount of time. I need to invest my time into the people that God's putting around me. And we're called to do this. We got to see it. Jesus says, I'm going to invest my time. I'm going to go. I'm not just going to call them out. I'm not just going to say, repent. I am going to go and invest time in this sinner. In this one who is lost. Jesus has said, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I like the word invest because when I invest, I expect a return. When I'm investing my time, I expect a return. I expect a reward. Where will my reward be? Heaven. You know, I like laying up for heavenly rewards. I do save for retirement, right? I do. That's wisdom. But I'm really looking for heavenly rewards. Okay, I'm laying up treasure in heaven where nothing can steal it away. Because I figure I'm going to be here. I mean, I'm 63. How many more years I got? It's okay. Don't guess. I don't get into that. You might scare me. How many more years do I have? How long am I going to be in heaven? How long are you going to be in heaven? You know, you're going to be in heaven a long time. I want to save up for that next life. See, but most of us don't think that way. We don't invest our time in our lives thinking about where we're headed. Right? And I want to invest my time in the things of God. When I have these opportunities, here's, again, full disclosure, this is a problem I have. This is the problem. I speak to myself on this one when it comes to investing time. I have a gift of God. I have a grace of God that people feel very comfortable around me because I'm sincere. I mean it when I say I care. And I know many of you confirmed that. Hopefully all of you, but maybe not. But the point being, I have this gift. People, they open up to me. And, you know, when Jesus uses the metaphor of be a fisher of men, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You know, you're going to fish for men. You're going to catch men. Like, that's really cool. Well, I with the gift I have, I can get fish. They're like swimming under my boat. Actually, if my boat moves, the fish swim with me. Okay. But I need to invest the time now to get that fish that's following me into the boat. Taking the time, the investment of time, saying, let's sit down, let's talk. Tell me about you. Let me know that I can win that right to go deep with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, so again, this is one that speaks to me because time's precious, man. I said time is valuable, all right? But I see that. That's something in my life I'm always convicted by, all right? So I challenge you, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing? Are you taking advantage of you? Are you seeing the open doors? And when you have that, are you taking advantage? Are you changing your schedule to be with people that need Jesus? Right? Are we taking it again? Because this is what God wants us to do. He's challenging us to do this. You've got to invest the time. Last week, if you were here, we'll go over it again in a few minutes. Matter of fact, put that next slide up. Oh, no, not that one. No, not that one either. Keep going. Keep going. There's the one. There's the one. Okay. My brother will love that when he listens to that. Okay, but anyhow, we talked about this last week, about going into our world and challenging ourselves. Again, just where you live, you know, what's your community, making you think about where do you go to work, who do you encounter if you're at school. Again, write out what community, what committees am I on, what groups am I in, and who are the people that God has around me that I should be praying for to be able to reach. You know, it could be the cashier at Giant Eagle. It could be somebody that comes into Jim's drum store. You know, there's somebody that you're aiming at. And we want to be praying for these people. Right? This is investing time. I want to invest time. I got neighbors. I got several neighbors that we have a wide open door. But there has to be a time investment, a planning to make that happen. Okay? But we've got to make it happen. You've got to invest your time. You know, we don't have a slide for this, but on October the 29th, Saturday the 29th, we're going to, for those that are able, that morning, there's a Halloween parade, and we're going to have a presence there in Avalon as it goes, and then the parade marches into Bellevue. Why? Why are we doing that? Why? Because we want to represent Jesus Christ. We're going to look for some open doors, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to look for open doors. Our connection group, the one that Ryan and I lead here on Monday nights, just happens to be the night of Halloween. Okay, so we're gonna open up the doors and hand out candy and some other useful information to people as they come here. But we're going to invest time. That's the point. Say invest time. You got to invest it. You got to invest time. You have to see that this is valuable. See that this is valuable. See, this is something we're going to do. I'm going to do this with my life. Right? I'm an ambassador of God. This is what he is absolutely calling each and every one of us to do. Man, God help us. God help us. Back up that a couple slides there. Luke 19:8. There you go. 19:8. Is that the one I wanted? Let's go to the next one. Go to the next one. You know, when Jesus, remember when he spoke to Zacchaeus, he said, after Zacchaeus said, again, Zacchaeus' response was profound, wasn't it? When he said he received Jesus, he said, I'm going to pay back everybody fourfold that I've stolen from, and I'm going to give away half of my wealth. I'm going to give it away. Something happened in him. Doug mentioned this in the giving time. I mean, something happened. There was something that happened in him. There was a transformation. If you are going to be willing, if you're going to be willing to speak this, if you're willing to have your eyes open, see the open door, invest time, you're going to see lives change. You're going to see people be delivered. Right? You're going to see people cross that bridge into the hope of Jesus Christ, just like you did. It will happen, and you'll see transformation. Amen? Listen, that's what this is about. You're an ambassador. You're here to represent him. You have the power of God to see people set free. There's nothing more exciting. Nothing more exciting than having these opportunities. Man, God, help us. Help us. Help us catch this at this time. Just go to the very last slide, please, Josh. Last slide. So again, as we come to conclusion, this is what we need. If you're going to go into your world, if you're going to be that ambassador that God's calling us, you have to see the way Jesus sees. Got to look for the open door, and you have to be willing to invest your time. Now, for those in the room, just going to do a quick poll here. Who out there is like me, and your biggest problem is investing time out of those three? Investing time. Got it? You got it? And see, again, we're convicted. How many of us have an issue? I got to see the way Jesus sees. Right? Because I look at people and I just want to judge them where they are. Because after all, they deserve it, right? I mean, how many are all of the above? Yeah, all right. See, but when you catch it, see, the point is you're not alone in this struggle. But even as we were speaking about God making new wine, that last song, you got to see that if you open up your heart and you really say, God, do what you want, he's going to do this for you. He will do this for you. He will help you see people the way he does. You will see the open door, which is going to light your life on fire. Your life is going to light on fire because you're going to see lives transformed. You will be part of seeing people come to hope in Jesus Christ and become the fullness in God. Does that excite you? You know, that one of those people on your list that you would like to see come to faith, how exciting would it be to see them come to faith? Right? That would light up your world. Let it be. God, why not? Why not? Why not you? Why not you? God's looking for people. He's looking for harvesters. And that's the cry that he has for us. It's a cry. Say, God, let's do it. So right now, just where you are, let's just take this before God. Father, we come before you. And again, this is all about sincerity of heart. That's what this is. If you're sincere in saying, God, make me a vessel, make me whatever you want me to be, if you're sincere in this, he hears your prayer and he responds. He hears your prayer. And right now, again, lift up those that you want to reach, that need Jesus. Lift them up. Lift them up by name in your head. Whisper it. I know I've got a Michael, a Lexi, a Zach, a Victoria, an Ed. Those are four to come into my head right away. God, open up doors. Let me see the open door. Invest the time.